Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's chapter 60, verses 1 through 5, and I will be reading from the Jerusalem Bible translation. So if you're following along in your pew Bibles, it might sound a little bit different. Hear now these words from Isaiah. Arise, shine out, for your light has come. The glory of Yahweh is rising on you, though night still covers the earth and darkness the peoples. Above you, Yahweh now rises, and above you, his glory appears. The nations come to your light and kings to your dawning brightness. Lift up your eyes and look around. All are assembling and coming towards you. Your sons from far away, and your daughters being tenderly carried. At this sight, you will grow radiant, your heart throbbing and full, since the riches of the sea will flow to you, the wealth of the nations come to you. What a joyful passage this is. I can hardly read it without singing. Arise, shine out, the glory of God is upon you. It's a wake-up call, literally. Rise and shine. That's how my mother used to wake us up every morning growing up. Rise and shine, Mary. Not just rise, but shine. What a great way to start your day. A new morning has broken. People are flocking to see the glorious light that surrounds you. You will be radiant. Your heart will be full. It's so positive, so happy, so uplifting. And yet, this passage, like the rest of the Bible, and life is so much more complex than that. First of all, it comes after a long, long period of darkness, and night still covers parts of the earth. But when does light shine so brightly as after a long, dark night? This passage is also geared towards showing the Israelites a new kind of existence. They have been restored to Jerusalem after the exile, certainly, and the second temple has been built when this passage was written, but it's not the same. Not the same as it was. Not what they were expecting. The kingdom has not been restored. And those who have returned are struggling to come to terms with their identity. Who are the true Israelites? Who are the sons and daughters who are returning? It is not as clear-cut as it was before the exile. Who are the chosen people? The chapters before this passage in Isaiah talk about moving towards the whole earth sharing in God's salvation. In chapter 56, eunuchs and foreigners who obey the Lord will find joy in his house. And the Lord's house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. The prophet is opening up God's salvation to everyone. It now has a worldwide outlook. We are all the chosen people. The previous chapters also talk about what it takes to get back into God's graces. Isaiah writes about performing religious acts, such as fasting, for the right reasons. Fasting is not just for one's personal benefit, but it is to loose the chains of injustice and to share your food with the hungry. Provide the poor wanderer with shelter. Clothe the naked. Then, we are assured, our light will break forth like the dawn. Also, we have to do away with malicious talk, and those who have sinned must confess in order to be redeemed. So finally, after all of this, after the exile, and after welcoming eunuchs and foreigners to the table, after throwing off the yoke of oppression, after feeding the hungry and clothing the naked, after keeping the Sabbath holy, when we have stopped talking trash about other people, and after we have confessed and repented our sins, then we see the light. The light is always there, but we must make ourselves able to see it. The prophet also has something to say about how people are supposed to respond to the light. For one thing, the gates of the city are to be continuously open, never closed, so those coming from far away can enter and see the light. No one is to be shut out of the light. Justice and peace should reign as well. In other words, this community of people that receives the light must be held to an ethical standard. Light is certainly a recurring theme in Isaiah and in the entire Bible. When the earth was a formless void, the first thing God created was light. God created light before God created the sun. So the light that God created on that first day is something more than the sun. It's something bigger than the sun, more primal perhaps. It is certainly more eternal than our sun. And people throughout all of history have understood the importance of light. Many religious traditions have festivals dedicated to light, Hanukkah and Diwali, to name two. And Quakers are all about the inner light, the light of Christ, the true light, the God within each one of us that we need to find and attend to and let shine. Years ago, when I was in Ireland, I visited a place called Newgrange. It's one of the most ancient man-made structures on earth, and it was built so that its inner chamber is illuminated by the sun on the winter solstice. As the sun sinks down to its lowest point in the sky, this massive structure built over 5,000 years ago catches the sunlight and holds it in its inner chamber for nearly 17 minutes on the darkest day of the year. Yes, humans have always understood the importance of light. Most of us, I hope, have never experienced the kind of hardships that befell the Israelites. Our country has not been invaded and taken over. We have not been enslaved and sent into exile. Most of us have not been forced from our homes. But I bet that pretty much all of us have experienced some kind of darkness. And I'm sure some of us are in the darkness still. Loss, betrayal, fear, these can all lead us to a dark place. But sometimes we are in the darkness and we're not even sure why. We are lost and we can't find our way back to who we are. I've certainly been in those dark places in my life. So how do we find our way back to the light? It isn't easy. I wish I had a roadmap for all of you to find your way out of the darkness, but I think everyone needs to find their own path. James Naylor, an early Quaker, wrote that if you are in the darkness, you must stand still and act not. Wait in patience until light arises out of darkness to lead thee. That is certainly difficult to do today. It's difficult to wait patiently. It's difficult to act not. We want to do to make things better. But sometimes it's best to do nothing. And I think it's worth attempting this sitting still and listening for the still, small voice of God within us that can show us the way. One way that I think we can find our way out of darkness is to live a life worthy of our calling. Several years ago, I was in a pretty dark place. My kids were in college, and I was dealing with the typical empty nester syndrome. What do I do now that my main purpose for being these last 20 years have moved out of the house? I began to think about how nice it would be not to have to pay college tuition and how I could begin to spend my money on myself. I had a decent job. I liked the people I worked with, had a nice house, nicer now that there weren't kids and animals to mess it up. I thought about the things I could buy and the places I could visit now that the kids were gone. But I was still pretty darn close to miserable. And after much soul searching and discernment, I realized I was being called into ministry. That was so not the answer I was expecting. It certainly was not a sound financial decision at this point in my life, but this thought kept on coming back to me again and again until I could ignore it no longer. I couldn't keep on making excuses why I wasn't doing this, that I wasn't good enough, why I wasn't smart enough, I wasn't brethren enough. And you know what? It was utterly, utterly terrifying, and it still is. But I also know deep down that this is exactly what I am supposed to be doing right now, frightening or not. And I felt as though a huge weight has been lifted. I felt as though a new day had dawned. Light was shining where there had been years of darkness. And all of the issues and excuses and problems that I had been making, they just melted away in this new and glorious light. And the light is that much brighter, having come out of such a dark place. There's a wonderful quote from St. Catherine of Siena that I remember from my childhood. "Be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire." That is good advice. Don't hide your light under a bushel. No. Be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire. Your heart will overflow with joy. Don't fall prey to false modesty and fear. I know what that fear is like. You know, if you're not invested in something, it doesn't matter if it fails or not. But if you are doing something that you are passionate about, that really matters, if you are doing what you are meant to do, that is when it gets scary. People could make fun of you, not understand what you're doing. They could talk behind your back. Who is she to be doing that? Who does she think she is? You could fail. But we need to leave all of that behind. We need to leave all of that fear behind. Live a life worthy of your calling, and people will flock to your light. People will bring the best of who they are, the wealth of the nations and the seas, to join in your light. And notice in the text from Isaiah, there is no proclaiming, there's no talking about the light. It is in the doing and the sharing that we, and the showing that we share the light. Do good works, then sit still and wait for the light to show you the way. Do the work God meant you to do. Show people the light within you. That is the way forward. While I was preparing this week, Pastor Ben shared the following with me that was written by Marianne Williamson. it pretty much sums up what I want to say. And because Marianne Williamson is a much better writer than I am, I will use her words. I was going to try to work bits of it into the message, but I decided to just read the entire thing to you now. It is called Our Deepest Fear. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be that? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us. It's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. May we all let our inner light shine.